Continuing on from the Rivers Casino on 105.9 The X, your home for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Tim Benz with you today. Pleased to be joined right now by a former Pittsburgh Penguin, a Stanley Cup champion. He is the color commentator for Penguins games on AT&T Sportsnet. He is a former teammate of Tom Barrasso, who just recently got elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame. He's joining us to talk about that and lots going on in the offseason for the Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll discuss their moves moving forward this summer. He is Bob Airy. Bob, thanks a lot for taking some time to join us. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. It's been a long summer. I'm ready to get going, but there's been a lot going on here in Pittsburgh when you're talking about the hockey team, and I'm sure there's going to be a few more changes before they drop that puck.
Absolutely. I want to get to those. I want to start off, though, talking about your former teammate Tom Barrasso making the Hall of Fame. When you heard that he made it after waiting 17 years, what was your reaction?
Well, it's about time, you know, really. Tommy Barrasso, one of the great goaltenders in my era. We would not have won any Stanley Cups without Tommy. You know, Tommy came to play hockey. He was a tough customer. He was a strong netminder. He could play the puck. He could help your team break the puck out. And he could stop the puck and had a lot of confidence in between the pipes. So it was great to see that Tommy's finally going to go to the Hall. And we'll see if anybody else goes.
Yeah, I think Jaromir Jagr, of course. There's other candidates from this team, the current team. There are many candidates from the current team, actually, that I think could make it. As far as Barrasso goes, and that line that you said, you don't win any cups without Tom Barrasso, where did he shine the most, in your opinion, during those championship years for you guys?
Well, it's interesting. Goalies are typically guys that just stop the puck and keep their mouth shut. And Tommy was the furthest thing from that. Tommy was very vocal, instrumental in the room. There's been a lot of talk about how, you know, what type of person and character Tommy is. Well, Tommy is very self-assured, and I have no problem with that. If you didn't like something, he'd let you know. You knew exactly where you stood with Tom Barrasso. I love when I know where I stand with a player. I don't want a guy that's telling me one thing and doing another thing. Everybody knew where Tommy was, when he was happy, when he was not happy, and he stopped the puck. You know, in all the big games, I mean, you look at the games, you know, even against Chicago or like any finals, Tommy was always there to make that big save. You know, Tommy, when you look at the great goaltenders back in those days, you know, they gave up some chances. We did, certainly. We were an up and down hockey team like the Oilers may have been earlier. And Grant Fuhr, he let in his share of goals. And Tommy, he let in some goals too, but he stopped the big ones. You know, it wasn't 2-1 hockey that we were playing, and we didn't mind winning 6-5. And by the way, we did win the last one 8-0 against Minnesota. And Tommy Barrasso was always there in the big games for us.
He also won a big one against Chicago in the first game of 92, 5-4. I think he did win the cup clincher 6-5. So the Penguins had that with Barrasso between the pipes as well. And, you know, I remember him, that shutout in the 92 Cup final, with the series being as open as it was, to pitch a 1-0 win. Boy, that really resonated with me if I'm thinking of a Tom Barrasso moment with the Penguins.
Was that the Kevin Stevens goal?
I believe it was. I think it was in game three.
Tommy was like that. You know, he played the score. I love, you know, when you say that, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter if it's 6-5. It doesn't matter if it's 1-0. Like, he knew the score, and he was all about wins for him. You know, when you talk about the greats in any sport, you know, if you ask Ben Roethlisberger, he'll say it's about the wins. It's not about my stats. And I think Tommy was like that. You know, everybody wants to have good numbers, fine and dandy, but you'd rather have more rings on your finger. And, you know, you knew right away, even when Tommy was not a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins, when he was drafted by the Sabres and, you know, a high draft pick, you knew what you were getting there, and the Penguins knew what they were getting when they brought him to Pittsburgh. He didn't disappoint. He didn't surprise one. I don't think he surprised one way or the other. I think he came as advertised. And, you know, like I said, Tommy, you knew where you stood with Tommy. you as a man in the media, me as a player, a coach, you knew exactly where you stood with Tom Barrasso. I don't think he pulled any punches with anybody. There's no question he did not. He was blunt, and he was a Hall of Famer then, and he's going into the Hall of Fame now.
I didn't cover Barrasso regularly. I had like two media interactions with him at the tail end of his career. I think one of them, I was even working in Columbus covering the Blue Jackets in their first year, and his last year with the Penguins, or roughly thereabout. So I didn't get to know him. I just know the legends of how difficult he was to deal with from a media perspective. You know, I heard Mark talk about this on his show, and we did a podcast together, Bob, and you'd be a good person to ask about this, that especially the veteran players, the older players in the Penguins, the established stars, the all-stars, you were an established vet for sure on that team, that you guys were all right with Barrasso. It was the younger players that he maybe had an issue with, beyond just the media guys. Was that, in fact, the case, or how did you view your own personal interactions with him?
Yeah, but like I said, you know, he was great with me. I would say that I was kind of, you know, one of those guys that was an in-between between some of the young guys and some of the older guys. I was an alternate captain there, you know. If the young guys may have had an issue with any player or any coach or anything, that you'd like to talk to the players about that. You know, I think Tommy just, he was focused on playing the game. He didn't, you know, the game was the game, and he didn't want to be involved and deal with the other distractions that may take him off what he wanted to do. You know, I can't speak for Tommy, but I thought he was always zoned in when he was in between the pipes. I mean, he was more serious than really a lot of players that I had seen back then. He brought a level of, you know, a fierceness in that way in terms of concentration and honing in on your craft kind of thing. I have no problem with that with any athlete. And I would never second guess his commitment or anybody else that was honed in and focused like that. So, you know, yeah, maybe some of the young guys who are coming up, whether it be a goaltender trying to take his job or another player that Tommy maybe wasn't so conversational with, but you had to find your way. And, you know, everybody had to find their way in a team amongst a team of 20 or 25 players. That's just the nature of any sport or any team like that. So everybody's different. And, you know, he was just a part of the team that brought something a little different and a little special for us. And, like I said, I wouldn't trade Tommy Barrasso in between the pipes for us with anybody. So it was a treat to have him there, and we wouldn't have won the cups without him.
Yeah, I just double-checked, Bob, by the way, going back to our conversation about that Blackhawks series. 1-0 was the Kevin Stephens goal in Game 3, but where I probably glossed over was, I mean, you won Game 2 3-1. So, you know, and that was a series that started off up and down with a great comeback. It was 6-5 in Game 4 to close it out. So for him to just allow two goals in between is something. And actually, even going back to that Bruins series, when you swept them, you gave up 2-1-1. You gave up 2-1 against the Rangers to close out that series after Mario got hurt. So he was really good late in series in those 92 playoffs. And I think was worthy of being in the Conn Smythe consideration that year. I know Mario won it. We all remember Jagr's imprint against the Blackhawks. But, boy, if it wasn't Mario, I might have gone Barrasso there for a Conn Smythe in that postseason.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you got a guy like Barrasso, the glove on the other hand, a strong man that was able to stop pucks that were rimmed around. And really, teams couldn't get a forecheck against us. Which is great if he could get the puck up into the forward's hands, just rip it around the glass so that, you know, Paul Coffey or whoever it might have been didn't have to go back there and get their face plastered into the glass. You know, to have a goalie that could play the puck like that. Tommy was so strong.
Well, Madden said, actually, Bob, that he thought that Barrasso was actually a better puck handler than Brodeur. You think that's right?
Well, you know, I don't think he roamed as much as Brodeur. Brodeur would go into the corners a little bit more. I think he may have been better. You know, he was you know, he wasn't one to be flying out to the corner to play a puck or get confrontational, or you never saw him get run over because people had respect for Tommy Barrasso in the net, whether it was Tommy taking his stick to them or somebody else. Like, you know, you didn't mess with Tommy. Whether you were if you shot high in practice, Tommy Barrasso was going to come out at you, just like Hextall did on Rob Brown. You know, he wasn't going to put up with it, and players knew that it played against him. Whether you shot high on him in a game, whether you got in his crease, you knew about it. Tommy, you know, he commanded a lot of respect in that net, both from his teammates and from the opposition. So I thought he was a great puck handler. I thought he was simple in his movement. We never talk about Tommy making bad plays with the puck. A lot of these goaltenders that play the puck a lot, they make a lot of mistakes with the puck. Tommy never made mistakes with the puck when he played the puck. I thought he was brilliant. He knew when to do it. And, you know, and that's the key to goaltending. You make the big saves, you make the plays, you know when to make your move. And I thought he was very honed in at his craft.
Bob Airey with us, Penguins color commentator, former Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup champion, joining us right now on your home for the Pens, 105.9 The X. Bob, let's talk about the Penguins moving forward and what's going to happen this offseason. I feel like I want to say a lot's going to change. A lot has already changed in the front office, but with their cap constraints, I'm not sure how much can change in terms of bringing in big-name impact players or anything like that. How much of a roster overhaul do you see happening?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question, and you really can't make the moves unless you have some salary space. So unless you're going to get rid of one of the big guys, so maybe somebody that has a, you know, there's so many players that have the no-trade contracts. How do you get those guys to move if that's a possibility? You know, Kyle Dubas has got a lot on his hands, and he's handcuffed a little bit here, so. You'd hate to see him move some of the players that don't have the no-trade contracts, you know, the Gensels and maybe a Rust or something like that, integral parts of this Penguin hockey team and you hope of the Penguins' future. You know, so I don't know how you get a guy with a no-trade contract to move if you can. That requires a special talent and a lot of talking and a want for that player, a want and a desire for that player to move because he's not getting the required ice time that he thinks he deserves. Let's see how it works out.
Bob, let's go back to goaltenders. Tristan Jarry, do you think he'll be back?
Tristan Jarry, I think that's the biggest decision Kyle Dubas has. He's going to talk to the goaltender coach here. He's going to talk to Mike Sullivan. Tristan Jarry is a two-time All-Star, a guy that when he's healthy, and that's a tall order as well, he's one of the good goaltenders in the National Hockey League. Now, greatness comes with winning playoffs, and I refuse to say and call him a great goaltender right now until he gets the Penguins a little bit deeper into the playoffs. But he's definitely one of the good goaltenders in the National Hockey League. Better than average, way better than average, given the fact that he's been given that invite to two All-Stars. I've seen him on stretches with the Penguins looked like a top three goaltender in the league. I really have when the Penguins have played the right way in front of them. But the health issue has got to be a concern. I don't know exactly what his issues are, and that's going to have to go into the decision whether or not they're going to pay him big dollars for long term. Or can you get some? If you can get him on a short term deal, I'm all for that. I think Tristan Jarry is one of the very good goaltenders in this National Hockey League and a goaltender the Penguins can win with.
When Kyle Dubas was hired, were you on board with that from Jump Street, Bob? Was this the name that you wanted to see replace Hextall and Burke when they were dismissed? Did you think that this was the right guy to become president of hockey operations, or is it a concept that you've warmed up to since the hire was made?
I thought he did tremendous work and bringing in some great players for the Leafs come trade deadline. You know, I thought he did a great job in Toronto. He gave them every opportunity to win. You know, it didn't work out for the Leafs. They did get by their nemesis, the Lightning, but they weren't able to move any further. But I mean, how much can you pin on a general manager in that situation? So I thought he did some great things. You know, Shannon, Ryan O'Reilly, you know, I thought there was some great you know, players and pieces that he brought in to Toronto. They just didn't end up getting it done. Kyle Dubas is a young and up-and-coming general manager that has a ton of, you know, he started out in the OHL, so he's got a wealth of knowledge, experience to do this job. I see his passion. I met him in the rink, the bowels of the rink there last year, and just said hi to him. I think he's always keen. You can see his passion when even when you're watching those old Leafs games and the games this year in the playoffs. You can see how passionate he was about goals that he thought were in and were scored by his hockey team that didn't count. Like, you know, he was just almost living and dying on the sword. And you know, it's a tough game when you have you know, when you're in that kind of situation. But you know, I love a man with that kind of passion. He's been able to make some deals. He's well respected in the league, and I think he's going to do, and he better do wondrous things here in Pittsburgh, because this is what these fans deserve. I think that's what he's going to bring, and I'm excited to see what he can bring. And I welcome change. I welcome change in that seat. I hope that there's other changes that are made, not just in personnel, but maybe in the way they play the Penguins, their concern for playing better defense and structured. I hope there's a few things that change here in Pittsburgh, because they have to, because the way it's been going the last 4 or 5 years, that has not been the recipe for success.
Bob, can't thank you enough for doing this. Appreciate the time. What do you have going on the rest of the summer? Are you sticking around Pittsburgh? You heading back to Canada? What are you doing?
No, I'm going to hang around Pittsburgh. I'm doing a little three ice here with my partner, Steve Mears.
Oh, you calling the games?
Underway. Yep, calling the games. That starts Wednesday, Neville Island. So I'm looking forward to that. Three ice and second season for that. And we're looking forward to some excitement. And I'm trying to get my handicap down under 10, but it just seems to be going higher and higher.
So wait, Bibbs, are you doing all the three ice games in the various locations, or are you just doing the one locally
yep.
here in Pittsburgh? You're doing all of them.
No, I do them all. Yep. Do every Wednesday. And then the final will be televised on CBS proper, out of Philadelphia. So, you know, every Wednesday night we'll be on CBS Sports at 7 o'clock.
You traveling or are you doing them remote? Are you going city to city or are you doing them from a studio?
Yeah, I go city. Yeah, we go city to city. We go city to city. Start here in Pittsburgh and go to Hershey. And then we're in Boston and New York and Newark. We're at the big building there, the Prudential Center. And finish off in Philadelphia at the big buildings, Wells Fargo. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
I didn't realize you were doing that. I'll give a plug, because we had Craig Patrick on talking about that last week when I was in for Mark. I know he's the commissioner, and he's coaching one of the teams as well. And the one,
yeah, there's four teams. I think Team Patrick and EJ are coaching a team, but they have two other teams. Like Ray Bork's in it this
yep.
year
because
his kids are playing. And, you know, Larry Murphy's still coaching. Joe Mullins coaching, Carbono's coaching, Grant Pierce coaching.
And I know that the benefits, or at least part of the benefits for the game at the RMU Island Sports Center Wednesday night, the 28th, folks are interested.
Yeah.
They can go and buy tickets, and that will help benefit the return of the RMU hockey program, which happens this fall. They just put out their schedule yesterday, so that's a nice tie-in.
Yep.
So I'm glad you're doing that, Bob.
Yep. Schooling company, I actually had a lot of fun doing it last year. Like, the players and the people involved were very passionate, and that was the most important thing. They were really very excited at what they were doing, and they were very thankful, you know, for what we were doing. So I really appreciated it. So I'm glad we're doing it again.
And Bob, I appreciate you. Have a great summer, and we'll catch up again when the regular season rolls around, okay?
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All
thanks.
Right. Bob Airy here on 105.9 The X.